allies, and anybody that wants to learn more about the LGBT plus community. My name is Zanardi, and I'm so glad all your beautiful faces are here. Hello, everybody, and welcome back to another episode of the Alphabet Mafia podcast. Our guest today is Luke Jones. Luke is actually a friend of mine. We met a few months ago before COVID. We are just fans of each other's works, and we consider each other friends. Luke is just about to graduate high school. He is part of the infamous class of 2020, the virtual class, if you will. Luke is a social media figure. He frequently makes TikToks just about various things. He does great skits. He does LGBT advice. He does comedy. He's quite a creative mind, if you ask me, and I would fully say I am a fan. He also is getting into modeling. He wants to do acting and photography as well. So he's a jack of all trades, if you will. And I had a great conversation with Luke. We talked about quite a few different things. We talked about his personal background and his personal coming out story, what it's like being gay, you know, in LA, as well as just some of the culture that comes with that. We talked a little bit about OnlyFans, as he is on that platform, and if there's any stigma behind that. We talked about cancel culture, as cancel culture is so predominant. I actually share a story about how people tried to cancel me. It was like two or three people. But we get into that. I really enjoyed this episode. It was just a very casual, nice conversation. I think there's a lot of value for people who are listening. And so without further ado, here is Luke. Luke, my friend, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me.
Yeah, absolutely. How are you doing today?
You know, I'm doing all right. I could be better, but honestly, you know, considering, you know, the scope of what we're in right now, I'm honestly okay, you know?
Yeah, for sure. I know you're in LA, right?
Mm-hmm. I'm located, do you know where like Thousand Oaks area is?
And mm-hmm,
I'm
beautiful there. Area.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. And I'm, you know, down in San Diego area. So I'm sure it's a beautiful day for you as well.
Oh, it's gorgeous. I haven't gone outside because it's 90 degrees, but.
Yeah. Well, why don't you introduce yourself to the audience? Just tell us a little bit about yourself.
All right. Hi, guys. I'm Luke. I have been making TikToks on TikTok now for, I think it's been almost 9 or 10 months. I make TikToks ranging from like skits to educating young LGBTQ plus individuals. To I don't know, comedy. I mean, it's pretty much I just really like to put out what like my message, my personal message, essentially. Mm.
Yeah. Love that. Yeah. You and how old are you?
I'm 18 or 19. 18. I just turned 19. Sorry, just turned 19.
Nice. Well, happy birthday.
Thank you, man. Thank you.
So you're putting out, and I've been following you for a little bit now. You know, I'm a fan. I guess personally say I'm a fan. So
Thank you.
What inspired you at such a young age to be, and I'm not trying to like belittle you, like, but at 19 you're giving advice to other people on like being gay and like coming out. Like, what inspired you to do that and give you the confidence at such a young age to do that?
So basically I actually first got started on the internet off of Reddit. Mm-hmm. And while I was first coming out, I just saw that there was just such a shortage of resources for people that were coming out. I felt like there was absolutely no advice out there. I felt like kind of, you know, especially me being me, I'm a very masculine, you know, gay. It's kind of hard to find people that are like me. And it's been the reason that it is so hard is because people who are like me, they feel like they can't come out because they can't connect to the community. And I just kind of wanted to provide that sort of connection. Like, it's okay to be yourself and be gay, you know, like that's what I want to push out.
And you're still in high school, right?
Correct. Yeah. Or actually, I mean, I'm about to graduate, but yeah, okay. Technically, I still am.
Yeah. Some virtual graduation, right?
I, if there's a virtual graduation, I'm not attending it. I refuse. I'm okay with never seeing any of those people again, but yeah, I am. I don't want to think about that.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's pretty incredible then to be in high school, to be in the, you know, in the middle of the whole high school scene and the drama and the judgment that goes on in high schools, but then to be able to stand up for who you are, and not only stand up for who you are, but to stand up for the community as a whole and be an advocate and a voice to them. So when you, I guess, when did you come out? At what age? If you're 19 now, what age did you actually come out to yourself?
I came out to myself when I would say I was about 17 going on 18. And then I actually came out last year, January of last year. So January of 2019.
Okay.
And I've been out for a year now, so it hasn't been too long, but I feel like I've gained a huge insight to the community. I don't know, maybe if that sounds a little bit entitled, but yeah, I mean, I it's just I would like, I live by this phrase, be the person you needed when you were younger. And that's what I try to be every day.
Yeah, wow, that's a great phrase to live by.
Yeah.
And when you came out, I guess publicly, to the world or to your high school, how did they take it?
So actually, I got very lucky. Almost all of my friends still remain my friend. I didn't get too much stigmatization from it, honestly, in my high school sort of arena, mainly because I portrayed myself as this very tough person in high school. I just didn't want to deal with people sort of, I don't know, I guess giving me that feedback of not liking me. I always made sure that I was at the top. So I never got treated badly, but there were instances, very small. Like I wouldn't be invited to parties sometimes. I remember one time I slept over at a friend's house and he made me sleep on top of the covers and pretty
Oh,
much rolled
wow.
between us and stuff like that. And I was friends with this guy for 3 years and I was just like, oh, okay. I mean, sure. I mean, you do you, man, but I don't want to be friends with somebody like that, But in the whole spectrum of things, school-wise, I actually haven't experienced too much hate or, I guess, stigmatization for being gay. Most people are actually pretty okay with it.
That's good. That's awesome then. And is that kind of something that's common at the high school you attend, or is it more because you are this kind of, masculine, athletic figure that, they don't want to fuck with you because, you could beat him up, or you have this kind of power. Is it like do you is it because of that you think, or in general is your high school, pretty chill?
So from my experience, my high school is not at that as chill with gay people. Like they are accepted, but they're still gonna be sort of looked down upon to a degree. That's what I noticed at my high school. There were a lot of gay people that were out. All of the really flamboyant gays were out. And the people who were like me, they weren't out. None of there's nobody like there were no like you, normally like you'll go into a gay bar and you'll see a bunch of people that act exactly like me. But at my school, I was the only person who was out like this. And now that school's out now, there's been a few people that have actually come out. And it makes me really sad that, yeah, it was like my school, it seems open, it seems very LGBT positive, but it really isn't. There's sort of a hidden undertone of homophobia, but you can't really do much about it. And I do think that my acceptance was due to the fact that I had a lot of friends and I positioned myself just in an area where I surrounded myself with people that were positive and were going to support me instead of bring me down. I think that was what really determined my high school experience, was that I made sure to surround myself with people that made me feel good and made me feel happy.
That's awesome. Yeah, that's exactly, the type of environment that one should pursue to be in, is an environment that's uplifting and supportive. Was your family accepting or as accepting as your friends?
So my dad actually, funny story, I wrote him a letter and I went to school and he opened the letter 2 hours later and just sent me a text. Luke, I don't care. My dad did not care. My brother did not care. My mom, on the other hand, she's a little bit different about it. We've actually gotten to a more, I guess, rational point in our relationship now where we just don't discuss it, but we still have a relationship, which I mean, if you take what you can get, right? But my distant family, they still have no idea. Funny thing, I guess, as well. My half brother found my TikTok. I have a half brother. He's like 35. He showed it to my he posted about it on Facebook and added me to my entire dad's side of the family.
Oh
Yeah.
no. Like on accident or just on purpose?
On
Like just,
purpose.
oh my gosh.
Yeah. But it's okay because I apparently act so straight that none of them believed it. So.
That's a whole nother discussion. And how did that affect your relationship with your brother?
So I actually don't talk to him anymore because I'm more of at a point in my life where, your family is really going to be the people that support you and call you out when you need to be called out. But they don't really have the intention of hurting you. And I felt like when he did that, he had the intention of hurting me and trying to spite me. So I told him, I don't want to talk to you, you know, in my life for at least a long time until this passes, you know.
Wow.
Yeah.
And that is that something that does that give you comfort? Like, is that, I mean, obviously, like, you were in control of that situation and decided to cut him off, but would you suggest that as a method of healing or getting around something to other people is to cut off toxic people or people who do things like that?
Yeah, I would suggest that you have to cut off toxic people, but you have to, there's a very fine line between cutting off toxic people and self-delusion. So your friends, you know, they may tell you like, hey, Luke, you know, you shouldn't do this. And then you'll be like, okay, I shouldn't do it. Or maybe you'll be like, no, you know, these people, they're trying to hold me back. That's self-delusion. So you obviously want to make sure that you're cutting off the right people for the right reasons, instead of like trying to, I guess, support like one perspective and always like, you know, cutting off people if they, you know, don't align with that perspective.
Right. What and so your dad took it fairly well. He or he
Yeah.
didn't. Okay. And he's been supportive ever since. He doesn't. Okay, that's good. And how did that make you feel just knowing that your dad accepted you? Was it something that surprised you?
Oh, something that very, very much surprised me. My dad, he comes from a conservative background. But he actually was raised out here in LA. So I was like, I wasn't sure where he would land, but he ended up not caring. He was like, oh, what can you do? I mean, it's your life, Luke. You do you, man. Like, I'll support you regardless of, you know, whatever you go through. And I was like, okay. So he's, you know, he just told me that he knows the gay life can be very hard. It's like dating wise. I mean, I don't know if you have any personal dating wise, you know, it's hard. You get stigmatization. It's hard to move. You can't even, we can't even go to certain countries because we would be killed, you know, if we go to those countries.
And that's a great point. So actually, yes, so people like let's talk about equality. So people think, you know, equality is this general term. It's like, oh, you have gay marriage now, you're equal, or oh, you know, you can freely love who you love, so you're equal. Well, no, that's not always true. Equality, while we appreciate having the right to marry, doesn't mean that we're equal.
Yeah.
And yesterday, I was running an errand and I was coming back from the store, and it was kind of this nice neighborhood I was driving through, and there was this gay couple, this gorgeous gay couple. They were like young 30s. They were fit, like Lululemon. Like they had, like they were what I would call goals. Like a 24 year old
Goals.
single man.
Our
Like,
goals.
yeah. And they were pushing a baby stroller. So I was like, okay, they're like young 30s. Like they got it together. They're fit. And I the car in front of me, it was a convertible. They had their top down and it was a family inside. And I could see them. They kept doing like double take in the mirror and like chit chattering and whispering. And it was like, maybe they were like saying good things, but from the what I could note, what I could tell is like they probably were, you know, doing this whole like, hey, wow, look, it's a gay couple, you know, this type of chitter chatter that is, it just got, it probably makes people like, it probably makes that couple feel bad or just feel like they're being, you know, it's like when you're feeling like you're being watched and judged, like that's what it was
Yeah.
going on. Just this judgment of like we're walking down the street as a couple, and there's like the people in the car next to us are like judging us.
Yeah.
So that's that. So while we have equality, is it really like an equal like zone? No, it's not.
I would say equal. There's like two definitions of equal. Equal in the eyes of the law or equal in the eyes of society. And right now, I would say gay people are becoming more equal in the eyes of the law, but social progress is definitely a lot slower, which is, you know, why being gay, when you're gay, you have to be proud of it. You have to sort of present yourself in this way that, hey, I am gay, and there's nothing wrong with that. If you have an issue with that, then please keep it to yourself. This is my life. Let me live my life. Stop judging the way that I live, and go live your life. And that, you know, that's the way it should be, you know,
Oh,
in my
totally.
opinion.
And it's unfortunate. Like we're almost there. I feel like when our generation is, you know, a little bit older, we're gonna be able to walk down the street and not get glares or not
Yeah.
get, you know, people whispering to each other like, hey, look over there, wow, it's a gay couple,
Really hope not. I mean,
you
I had issues actually with my ex-boyfriend, who we would walk down the street and he would literally pull away from my hand every time somebody would drive by or walk by.
wow, oh
Yeah.
my gosh.
I mean, yeah, it was.
And how did that just like Did you talk to him about that at all? Like, hey, why do you do that?
I talked to him, and I mean, it was one of the reasons that I actually broke up with him is because he wasn't, he was gay, he was out, but he was not proud of who he was. He hated gay, he hated being gay, better said. And he conveyed that information to me, you know, pretty openly, which is what I didn't like. And that's why, you know, I made a TikTok about this, you know, saying not to date closeted guys. And I got a lot of people were like, why? You know, closeted guys don't have internalized homophobia. And I can say, like, as a closet, you know, as somebody who was closeted and who has dated closeted people and all this stuff, there's a lot more hate than you realize inside of them. It's not, they don't want it to be there, but they don't know what else to do. And they were raised that way, which you can't really blame them for. But being around that, it made me feel terrible. I mean, when you're dating somebody and they pretty much just pull away from your hand every time somebody walks past, it's like they're kind of scared to show you off. If it's like they're ashamed of you. And I was just kind of like, oh.
Right. Yeah. Like, could you imagine a straight couple doing that and the guy like pulls away every time he sees his friends or something? Like, it's not good. So that was probably a good move on you to get away from that. What was I thinking of? I had a point on, it was about, being in the closet. So did you date or have any relationships while you were in the closet before coming out?
I tried. Okay. So back when I was in the closet, I was more online on Reddit, and I talked to a few guys on there, made some deep connections. They never went anywhere, obviously, but I did try. But I didn't realize at the time how bad my internalized homophobia was. Like, I at the time, I would not have dated somebody if they even sounded feminine, if they tried on makeup, any of that stuff. And now, obviously, I could care less. In fact, I'm supportive if people are feminine, you know. Obviously, you know, toxic masculinity needs to be slowly put down more and more, not necessarily put down but changed into something that's more, I guess, adaptable and more 2020 instead of, like, you know, 1970s-esque.
Right.
But, you know, I would say that, I don't know, I guess it, I don't know. Yeah.
What I wanted to bring up. So yes. a lot of people that are in the closet try to find a boyfriend and then use that as their way of coming out. And so for anyone listening, I just want to highlight that that's not the best way to do it. I don't know if you have any experience with guys that tried it that way or
I have an experience with guys that tried it that way. I guess I have some insider experience from this as well. So I have a friend, his name, he's a best friend of mine. I'm not going to name him just in case he doesn't want to be named.
Right.
But my family was over at his house. Me and my dad were over at his house the other day, and they were exchanging stories because both me and this friend were both gay. Mm-hmm. And so he came out through sort of a very subtle way. And I came out with a letter, obviously very openly. Like, I was just like, hey, straight up, this is what I am. I would recommend for people that, you know, need to come out or want to come out, that they do it very, like, at face value. You want to be very, very, very like, yes, I am gay. You don't want to, like, sort of like tiptoe around the subject, you know, that doesn't work, especially for, like, family. Like, you may come from a very religious family, and for you to tiptoe around that, it just, like, it kind of erodes the trust that you've built with your parents, I guess, to a degree. And it makes them question, like, why didn't you just tell me straight up? Like, you know, let's just say that your parents are accepting, they would be like, why didn't you just tell me? You know, like, did I not create an environment open enough for you to just tell me? You know,
it's this idea of, like, owning your identity and being confident in it, because if you're confident in it, then like, judgment and attacks from other people can't hurt as much, or they're weaker. Because if you're insecure about yourself, or if you're insecure about your identity, then, you know, that's a vulnerability. That's like a hole in the ship, and people can come in through there and start attacking. And so if you're confident in it and you own it and you throw it out on the table, you know, what the fuck? Like, who cares what people say? Because you own it, right?
Yeah. That's what I like. I should probably bring up this other point too. I'm a believer that, you know, regardless of if being gay is nature or nurture, it shouldn't matter if it's nature or nurture. In the eyes of the law, we should be equal regardless, and people need to stop using that I was born this way as an argument, because then you're kind of saying, like, oh, I was born this way, give me pity. I can't do anything about this. No, this is your identity. This is who you are. You should be proud of that. You know, that's also what I believe.
So let me try to understand. So we shouldn't be proud of, or we shouldn't use the, you know, the Gaga mantra, like born this way. We shouldn't accept that.
Simply because it's, so when you say that you were born this way, mm-hmm. what that means is that you can't do anything about it. I feel like people, all the straight people, they get this image of, we should pity this person because they were born this way. They can't do anything about it. No, you, regardless if you were born this way or if you were made this way, it's your life. It's your right to do what you want to do. And you should be proud of who you are. You should not, you know, just be like, oh, I was born this way, I can't do anything about it, please. You know, I don't know. That's just how the argument comes off to me, you know?
Okay.
We should be proud of who we are regardless.
Yeah. I hear that. Yeah. I think for me, like when I hear Born This Way and when I play that song, because I've definitely played that song sometimes.
Yeah,
just like,
so have I.
But like, I think it, for me at least, it's coming from a place of like pride, like that like it is still coming from a place of pride. It's not a place of like, I was born this way, oh pity me. It's like, I was born this way, so like fuck what you think, like I'm happy to be that, you know?
It's not really about the song. I was just kind of referencing a TED talk actually that I watched. It was more of just I feel like having such a conservative family, I see what they talk about behind the scenes, and when more science comes out, let's just say that it does point in the direction of nature or nurture. You know, we want to make sure that, no, it doesn't matter whether it's nature or nurture, we are who we are, and we don't need science or you to affirm who we are.
Totally. Okay, I get that. We gotta prepare. What the fuck would happen if science came out tomorrow and it was like, guess what, you're not born gay, like dude, that
exactly,
that would, everything would go to shit, like the whole internet would blow up and we'd be back to square one with trying to get equality, it seems like, for now. So yeah, we do have to find a way to kind of prepare for both sides, like either or. What was the name of that TED talk, if you don't mind? Just my own curiosity.
Why you need to stop using the I was born gay argument, or it was something along those lines. You should be able to find it pretty easy on YouTube, though. I really recommend watching it. It's an eye-opening a TED talk. You know, you think it's going to go one way, but it goes the complete opposite direction, and the argument just makes sense for long term. That's why.
Okay,
cool. I enjoy educating myself on stuff like that. So
yeah, well, you're a smart guy.
Thank you.
Yeah, of course. So I want to talk about you do OnlyFans, is that correct?
Yeah,
but before we get into that topic, let me kind of warm up that conversation by talking about balls. So first of all, thank you all for listening. And if you have been listening for a while, you know that Manscaped is the only men's grooming brand dedicated to below-the-waist grooming. Hear that? Ooh, what is that? It is the new Lawnmower 3.0. It is waterproof. It has a cordless body, so you can take it in the shower and reach around to get those hard spots. And it features a cutting-edge ceramic blade to prevent manscaping accidents. All right, listen. If you are a man and you have balls, you need to get Manscaped. This trimmer offers the best shave that I've ever had. I used to cut my balls all the time. So once I found out about Manscaped, it changed the grooming game for me. If you have balls, you have to clean up down there, which you should. The quarantine is ending, so you should be cleaning up if you do that. So why don't you do yourself and your balls and any potential partners or fans, I guess, too, a favor and head on over to manscaped.com. And use code GAYFAM20. We had to change it up from the previous code. It's GAYFAM20. That's 20 at the end. At manscaped.com for 20% off and free shipping. 20% off and free shipping at manscaped.com. Use code GAYFAM20. All right, back to the conversation. You do OnlyFans, is that correct?
Correct, yeah.
And what led you to decide to do that?
So basically, I decided that I want to do it because I know that I want to eventually get into Hollywood. I want to do modeling. I want to do acting. And if we're going to be realistic here, I mean, every single celebrity's nudes has been leaked now. Mm-hmm. And it's not exactly hurting their careers. In fact, I would argue that it's benefited people's careers rather than hurt them. I mean, look at Kim Kardashian. Look at that one guy from TikTok whose name I don't really remember who got famous off of his nudes leaking. I would even argue Benji Kroll.
Yeah.
I would even argue Benji Girl.
Yeah.
And so I'm at this point where I guess one of my friends really put it into a quote for me, you know, it's just a body. And this body, you know, it's not exactly permanent, but, you know, I might as well use it while I can. And since I don't really exactly, TikTok doesn't exactly provide its creators with a stream of income, it's really the only way to make money now, like right now, at least through coronavirus. There's not exactly very many brand deals going on right now. There's not exactly, it's very hard to get a good brand deal as well when you're a small creator. So I sort of use it more as like a way for me to get off the ground. And then I'm planning to expand more into other like money-making industries, such as like YouTube. I'm trying to start a YouTube channel here in a few days. And then I'm also going to hopefully expand into like maybe the modeling or music industry soon here as well in a few years, but it's nothing permanent. It's more of just like, I have no shame about it. You know,
yeah. Using it as a launch pad.
Yeah.
And what do you have the channel name yet? Just a shout out.
It's just my name. Luke Jones.
Luke Jones.
Yeah. Luke Michael Jones. Yeah.
So look for that YouTube channel in a few days.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, a few days. I mean, my YouTube channel's already been created, but I just haven't uploaded it on it in like 5 months now. So I'm just
I was saying, and it's Luke Jones.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Nice.
Yeah.
So I like the way you put it. It's like a way of expressing yourself, and it's a way to launch your career. I mean, and one could make the argument that it's like the more wholesome way to launch your career, because if you know anything about like Harvey Weinstein or that Fox guy, like, okay, they were having sex. Those women were having sex to launch their careers. This is
exactly.
Like, no one's touching me, but I'm launching my career through pictures or video on the internet.
Yeah.
More power to you. And have you had any backlash from like your friends or your circle that's known about it?
No, I actually haven't had any backlash. My dad knows about it. Like, I'm very open about it. I literally do not care.
Yeah.
I do not care if people know. It's honestly like, I honestly take it as nude modeling. Like that's what it is. It's for me to practice modeling, but nude. Like quite literally, like I literally do nothing but that.
Okay.
It's there. So eventually I'm going to move out of my house here in a few months, and I need to have a decent amount of savings because my dad is going to be moving out back to Arizona. I'm going to be out here on my own.
Right.
No house. So I'm going to have to afford my own. And you know how expensive rent is in LA. It's like $2,000 a month. So
yeah. It's crazy.
Exactly. It's really there just to support me. Like essentially.
Yeah. Do what you got to do. I mean, obviously, since you do it, and you haven't had any backlash, that's good. I guess, I don't know. I kind of expected there to be someone that brought backlash. So I guess I can't go into any questions about that.
You see, at this point, none of my photos have been leaked yet. Nothing has been, it hasn't blown up or anything yet.
Right.
So I'm waiting for the day, and I'm becoming more prepared for it by just being open about it and sort of just like, you know, as long as I'm open about it and I train myself to be open about it, I see no problem with it. And I mean, I'm just waiting. It will come that day when I do get hate for it. But, you know, there's nothing you can really do about it. You can only control how you react to situations. You can't really control the situation itself. So,
And once that day comes when you do get hate or leaks or whatever, it'll probably only like blow up your profile. Like, it's only gonna help your career.
That's what I'm expecting will probably happen. I don't know what will happen, but
pretty much all marketing or all attention is good attention.
They always say, you know, all media is good media, right? All press is good press.
you're not a fan of cancel culture. Neither am I per se.
Yeah.
What are the general thoughts on like your friend group? Are they kind of aligned with, I guess, first of all, let's go back and say, what are your thoughts on cancel culture? And then do your friends agree with you? If we can start there.
So my thoughts on cancel culture is that, you know, it's very toxic, and eventually what's going to happen is one day somebody is going to kill themselves because of this. Somebody is going to get killed because of this, their address being leaked. or I mean, people have already lost jobs over cancel culture. People have already lost their families over cancel culture. I guarantee you, you know, the internet's been going on for what? Another, like, what, 20, 30? I guarantee there's been one or two people.
Right.
And it's just gone to the point where I'm like, you know, I view humanity as like we're all in this together. You know, we are reflections of the world around us. And the reason that people act the way that they act is because they're uneducated most of the time. It's the thing that they surround themselves with. Mm-hmm. They don't know any better. So why does anybody have the right to cancel somebody when we are all human and we all make mistakes?
Mm-hmm.
That's my image of it. And I know that eventually what's going to happen is a video of me is going to come out of me saying something stupid or doing something stupid or maybe being drunk or something. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I'm going to be canceled. You know, it's just it's a reality that you have to face as an online creator, that you are going to be canceled. It will happen.
Mm-hmm.
Something will leak. A friend will release, obviously, a video of you.
Friend.
Yeah, friend.
Air quotes for everyone friend. Listening. Yeah.
But, you know, which is why I've come to terms with it and why I'm against it as well, is that, like, I want to sort of put the energy out that I would like to receive back.
Mm.
And I like putting out a message of positivity and acceptance because eventually, you know, it's going to come around to me. It's going to come around to me. And you want people on your side for that. You know, you want to always be putting out a positive message.
Totally agree. And dude, they've tried to cancel me. Not, I shouldn't say they. Your face. They meaning like three people, probably very sad people. They tried to cancel me for being white. Yeah.
Somebody tried to cancel me because I went outside during quarantine with two friends just keep in mind that in my county it's allowed, legal for us to go outside of, like, as long as it's below three people.
Mm-hmm.
But one of my friends decided to screenshot my Instagram post and then decided to duet one of my posts on TikTok with it, and then, like, wrote a whole rant. And I was just like, if you have an issue with this, you know, come talk to me about it individually. You have my phone number. You have my DMs. Come talk to me.
Mm-hmm.
Second of all, why am I the one being shamed for hanging out with two friends when there's literal people going out every single day and partying and not even bothering to social distance, not wearing masks in the areas where masks are required to be worn?
Mm.
And it just kind of irks me that I was kind of targeted because I have a little bit of notoriety on the internet. Like,
mm-hmm.
I don't know. It's stuff like that kind of irks me, you know?
That's what it is. It's people that look at someone else and they, I don't want to say the word jealous, but they're like, well, you know, I don't have that. So, you know, I'm going to take that away from you. And I'm going to try to, you know, I don't have that. Neither should you. Like, what did you do to get that? And then so it creates this like idea of, it creates this mob mentality of everyone trying to look for something to do wrong and then bring them down. And then the thing is that they get propped up. They get told that they're a hero. Well, yeah, we canceled Emma. We canceled this person. And so then they feel good about themselves and they feel like that they're the hero.
You're not the hero. You just cause somebody to feel terrible about themselves. I don't understand it. I feel like the only time that cancel culture is justified is when you reach out to the person and they, you know, they either don't even bother responding or they acknowledge you and they apologize to you directly. I've had chances to cancel people here on TikTok. I've had some terrible encounters with some people on the app, some big creators. I'm not going to cancel them, though. You know why? Because they're going to do that to themselves.
Yeah.
Like, it's not my place to put that judgment upon somebody. I don't think it's anybody's place, really, to be like, you know, you deserve to lose all your following.
Totally.
I mean, of course, the person's like something terrible, you know, like a pedophile or something, then, or a molester or a rapist, then obviously, you know, like in extreme cases like that, it's a little bit okay to, like, not necessarily cancel, but, like, why are you posting it on TikTok? You could call the authorities. You know,
right.
You could actually get this person in jail.
Well, there's definitely cancelable offenses, I think.
Yeah.
Like people that are blatantly racist or derogatory, like homophobic, or just anything that's like blatantly obvious. But some video from like 4 years ago where someone, you know, might have said a slur, is that really a cancelable offense? Like, you have to look at their body of work and who that person is and what that person stands for and what that person is doing like now, and not what they did 3 years ago. Because if we're judging everyone like that, like, nobody is perfect. Nobody. We're not, no one is going to have a platform. No one is going to be a voice for marginalized communities. No one is going to help others or be, you know, a YouTube star or whatever. If everyone is judged on what they were when they were 13 or what they might have said when they were 17 drunk at a party, like.
Exactly. I mean, if you want a great example of it, look at Obama himself. He said that, you know, when he came into the office, his second term, he said he wasn't going to allow gay marriage. His opinion obviously changed. He's obviously in support of gay people now. I think that people should be allowed to change their opinions and who they are. You know, I think that's a very important part of being human, is being able to change and being able to accept that change. And as a society, if we continue to sort of not accept it that people can't change, I feel like we're going to be going down a dark path, because people can change. You know, people are willing to say that they're wrong. Mm-hmm. And yeah, I feel like a lot of people don't understand that.
Oh, absolutely. I think so. One of the reasons why Kobe Bryant was such an inspiration and touched so many people is that man was always learning and growing in everything he did, in basketball, in his personal life, in his family life. Like, the reason why so many people mourned him and loved him and why he was so great was because he was, every day, he constantly worked on himself to make himself better. And not just at his skill, as his craft of basketball. But I forget what year it was. It was like 2012 or something. He said fag on the court, and he called a referee a fag. You know, of course, everyone, you know, was upset with him, called him homophobic, whatever. And he, instead of, you know, giving some half-assed apology, he started working with GLAAD, and he started, you know, learning more about the LGBT community. He started putting himself in a conscious effort to make sure he doesn't make a mistake like that and upset people again. And so that's an example of what someone should do when they slip up. We shouldn't just cancel them. If this was 2019, Kobe could have been canceled. Like, did he deserve that? No. And then the funny thing is, he went through that. He learned from his mistakes. He did this whole thing. And then a few years later, a fan was like, he was walking off the court, and some fan was like faggot, or like yelled at him faggot, like called Kobe the slur. Kobe like turns around, gets in his face, and he goes, and like, I don't know, I forget what happened, but he like got mad at that fan and went off on that fan and explained to that fan why he shouldn't use that word. And so it's like, okay, so this guy went from, you know, making mistakes, saying a bad word, offending some people, to becoming an advocate and an ally for a marginalized group. And that happened because, one, he didn't get canceled, and two, because Kobe Bryant was always trying to learn and grow and become a better person. And that's what everybody, I think, should aspire to do and to be with their life. No matter what. Yeah.
100% agree. Cancel culture should not exist, mainly because, I mean, unless, of course, again, extreme cases. You know, I watched somebody take my words out of context, but, you know, whatever. But like, you know, cancel culture, it doesn't allow people to grow and change, you know, and that's like an essential aspect of being a human being, is growing and changing. And which is why I never have liked cancel culture. I mean, it doesn't embody my message. It doesn't embody the message of positivity that I want to convey. And on top of that, I just feel like it causes more harm than hurt, because when you really do cancel somebody, they don't come back with this, like, I guess, understanding of why they were doing it wrong. They see is the hate. Mm-hmm. You know, when you get canceled, all you can see is the hate.
Right.
And I think that's, you can't learn if you're just being hated on. You know, people need to be like, hey, you know, like, you did this wrong, we're going to give you another chance. You know, if you're really going to cancel somebody, I believe that people need chances to prove themselves and to prove that they have changed.
Exactly, totally. And it's also restrictive too. So there's the cancel culture where someone makes a mistake and then they get canceled. And then there's like, in my example, that I had this guy, there's this TikTok guy that's like kept duetting. He wasn't duetting my videos, but he was like tagging me in videos, trying to cancel me because I was white. And he's like, you're white, you can't speak up for a marginalized group. And I was like, Are you, what? Am I hearing this correctly? Do I need to fix my ears? Because I'm white, I can't run Alphabet Mafia. I can't speak up for the LGBT community. I acknowledge and I know that I'm not a person of color. I know I have, even though I'm gay, I have a little bit more privilege than a you know, a black femme, gay person. You know, I have more privilege than that. But what the wrong thing would do would be to not use your privilege to make the world a better place and to make it a better. That is privilege. Privilege is being able to sit back and not have to worry about anything, and to not do anything. But because I'm the notion that because I'm white, I shouldn't have a platform and I shouldn't speak out against homophobia, or I shouldn't help other people that are struggling, is just absurd and asinine. And it upset me a lot, but I was like, you know what, bro, I'm going to let the DMs speak for themselves. The countless of DMs that I get of people saying how much, you know, this work has helped, or how much, you know, it inspired them to come out, things like that. And so we just have to be, I guess the point is, we have to be mindful of our society, and we have to be mindful of everything going on, to the point where we don't lose our minds and we don't give in to these absurdities where we start canceling people because they're white. And yeah,
you know, surprisingly, I've gone through the same thing. I've gotten hate for some of the advice videos that I give. And I'm sitting there like, you know, if you have an issue with any of the advice that I had, you know, just don't listen to it.
Right.
Like, it's as simple as that. And the DMs that I've gotten as well, they speak for themselves. A lot of people will message me and be like, you know, you're the reason that I came out. Your advice really helped me. And, you know, that's that I do my best to not focus on the negative, because I know that if I do, it will just start to worm its way into your mindset. And eventually, like, it'll become one of your insecurities, which is why you have to acknowledge it. You have to accept the hate, but you can't let it, I guess, become you. You know, like people say that greed, that money, sex and drugs end people. I would argue that hate also ends people as well. You know, if you have enough hate in your heart for something or somebody, it will destroy you. So you can't. You have to let it slide. You know, the reason that person is even doing that is because they have nothing better to do with their time. You know, they don't have another way to convey that information. They don't have another way to get that energy out. And, you know, don't take it personally. You know, that's what I do. I just try not to take it personally.
The opposite of love is not hate. It's indifference.
Yeah.
It's just ignoring, not caring.
Exactly. There's always going to be hate in the world. There's always going to be hate in the world, especially if you're gay. There's always going to be hate. I would argue that, you know, being gay even coming out is such an insanely brave thing to do, because now, you know, wherever you go, if you're holding hands with like your partner or something, like, you are being judged 100% of the time by people all around you.
Yeah.
And you know, you have to be strong for that. The world, you know, for all the young gays out there, like, the world is cruel. You have to be strong. You cannot let the world break you.
Have you experienced, you know, blatant judgment or homophobia being with a partner
or
I was going to say in your example, holding hands with someone, but if it's not explicitly that, then I guess in general.
One time I was sitting in a car and it was just me and one of my friends, another friend, and one of the guys in the car, he's talking to his friends. He's like, yeah, I'm with I'm sitting in my car with blank and the two gays in the back. And I was just like, excuse me, you know, I have a name. This kid, by the way, he wasn't my friend or anything. That was I barely.
So it wasn't a joke. OK,
it was not a joke. No, we never talked after that. I was just
That's not good.
Yeah.
Yeah. Context is everything. Cause, like, honestly, if my like in my group chat with my straight friends, like, my name is gay, but like it's like a joke. And like,
no, it's a joke.
Yeah, like, exactly.
Like, you know, my best friend, he's straight. Like, we joke about it all the time, but there's a time and place for that. Like, if we're not at that level of friendship, then like, you know, you would know if we're at that level of friendship, you know, totally. That you're able to make jokes about that. You would know. And he was not. And I've heard that it's more of things being said behind my back, if anything, you know, the stigmatization that I deal with, not anything really in my face, because people know that I'm not exactly one to take a punch. I will throw it back. If you're going to say something about me, I'll say something about you. No problem. Yeah. You know, but I've learned more to be the person that just sort of rolls with the punches nowadays. I used to be that person that sort of like attacks. I used to be that person that was aggressive, but I've learned that the passive you are, the more passive you are, you know, you're not giving the person what they want. You're not giving them that reaction, which is what they want, you know, at the end of the day.
Right.
So, yeah.
They want to think they did something.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
They want to think they did something, but they really didn't do anything.
Yeah.
You know, if you react to what they're saying, that's giving them exactly what they want, you know?
Totally. Are a lot of your friends straight?
I would say a good 70% of my friends are straight, you know? I feel like, I don't know, maybe you've experienced this, maybe you haven't. I feel like it's hard for gay guys to become friends.
Mm-hmm.
I don't really have too many gay friends because they just, stuff happens and they end up getting a crush on me, and like I end up getting a crush on them or something like that. You know, stuff always happens like that. So I have one really, really close, you know, best friend who's gay. But other than that, no, I literally barely have any gay friends. I'm friends with a lot of like lesbian women and obviously like non-binary people and stuff like that. But it's just, I don't know. I feel like, I don't know. Maybe it's just my experience. I don't have too many gay friends.
Sure.
I really wish I did though. And right. I would say that I'm getting a lot of gay friends through my TikTok. I've been able to talk to a lot more gay guys, and they're just like, I feel like people are just very intimidated by me when they see me or something. Like people, I don't know. I wish I had more gay friends, but I really don't. So.
Yeah. And I talked with this with Josh Van Sant. He's another TikToker that gives a lot of advice. He's in his like 30s. He's from Australia. He's got the most beautiful like bold Australian accent. It's pretty cool. He was on the podcast a week ago, but one of our topics was finding gay friends and forming those gay friendships. And he was kind of saying that like that is something you have to deal with, is the whole hookup thing or the you know, the feeling thing. Yeah. Is like, and I can relate to this too, is that in most gay friend groups there are people who have hooked up with each other, but it's almost unexplainable. Like if you keep the group around long enough, or you keep the friends together long enough, people will get over it, I guess. And it usually happens in the beginning more. He said sometimes that's like the best way to start a friendship, is like it'll just hook up and then like somehow you just become friends but nothing more.
That's what I've noticed too. And like I feel like that's like a thing, but like it also like kind of like promotes the whole like hookup culture of the gay lifestyle, which I'm not exactly a supporter of. Because I, you know, I just want to have like, you know, that romantic, you know, I'm a romantic. I want that. And so for me, like when I'm trying to become friends with like a gay person, you know, like the thing that I guess I focus on more is like, you're able to be friends with somebody if like y'all don't have the same type. Like, how do you think a wingman is formed when you guys like don't have the same type, but you guys will like still help each other out? And that's sort of the relationship that I have with my friend. My gay friend, and we both have different types, but we still support each other and we're still like very friendly. But I've had friendships like what you've said, you know.
Yeah.
I've known people who have done that, and the friendships are honestly like they're fine, but like some people just don't want to hook up, you know, or do that stuff. So I mean, if you are looking to find a gay friend, it would be my advice for you to be just have an open mind, and on top of that, go into that relationship being like, hey, I'm just going to be, you have to be open with them. You have to be like, I'm not looking for anything. I just want to be your friend. Like, be open. Openness is like, I feel like openness is a very, very important, like key aspect in a friendship. You always have to be open with people.
For speaking from experience, openness is a big one, because, you know, I've had, I won't name names, but like, you know, someone wanted to go to dinner. And so I went to dinner. And, you know, I was being really friendly. I wasn't into them in any other way, but then like they're texting after, and it makes it, and the way they're coming off makes it sound like, you got to be upfront, because if I didn't say anything, because of course I was like, well, I don't want to disappoint them, or I don't want to like, you know, close off anything in case. But being open and upfront, just be like, look, you know, I don't think that, you know, it's going to be compatible in a relationship way, but you're a cool guy. Like, let's be buds. How did your straight, like, how was coming out to your straight friends? Was it, Was it what you expected, or was it more nerve-wracking, or just kind of tell me that story?
Yeah, so I came out to my straight friends long before I came out to my family, like long before I came out to all, basically before I publicly came out, all of my friends already knew. So I came out to them one by one, and eventually it just got easier and easier. But the first time it was extremely nerve-wracking. And the funny thing was, I was laying with my friend at the time. It was like midnight. We were just staring up the stars. And I was like, yo, dude, like, I'm going to be open with you here. Like, I think I like guys. And he'll turn over and he's like, oh, I mean, low-key same. And I was like, oh, okay.
No way.
Yeah, that was the conversation we had.
Is that still your gay friend?
Oh, no. I'm not friends with this person anymore. Oh, okay. But at the time, he was bi-curious more.
Oh, okay. Wanted to experiment.
Yeah, exactly.
Were you like afraid that you were going to like lose all your straight friends? They were going to, as I'm talking specifically about, let's talk men here. So like other boys, were you afraid that all these straight boys were going to cut you off?
So I was a little bit afraid, but not completely, because I surrounded myself with people who were already probably most likely going to be accepting of it. I was more scared of, now that I'm kind of taking myself out of it, I feel like I was just scared of saying the words out loud, if I'm going to be honest. Yeah. That was more of the fear to me than actually telling my friends, which is saying the words out loud means it's real. At the time, that was just so hard to overcome. It took me like maybe 1 or 2 months to build up the confidence to say those words.
Yeah.
And like, I actually came out as bi, and I eventually people assume that bi means gay. So like, people call me gay, and I was just like, okay, I'll just go with it.
Right. Sure. Yeah. I'm glad you brought that up, because I relate so hardcore on that. I remember I was literally like hooking up with dudes and like full on Grindr for maybe a month or two before I even like said the words like gay out loud, or I'm gay out loud. And I remember the first time that a friend found out, or that I had told a friend, I was hanging out with my gay friend because I was in college. And so so the way I did it was, I had my normal friend group, or my straight friend group, that, meaning normal as in meaning like they were my already friends.
No,
like
I already know what you mean. Yeah. I know.
Okay, well, for people like, you just call normal, normal's not gay, whatever. So that my friends that were already my friends. So I had them, and I was so nervous to come out to them. I didn't know what to do. Luckily enough, I had an acquaintance that was gay from freshman year. And so I hit him up and I was like, yo, like, I think I'm gay. And like, he introduced me to a bunch of gay people. So I started hanging out with them as well. So I was like having this like backup gay friend group with on the side, as I was being nervous about coming out to my gay friend group. Anyway, so I was out at the bars one night, and my roommate texted me, and like, he came out, and he ended up just coming out because he was bored. I'm like, yeah, we're here. I didn't really want him to, because I was hanging out with all the gay friends. So he ended up coming, and then like we get back, and he's like, yo, so like, you hanging out with that crowd? And I was like, yeah. And he's like, cool. He's like, anything you want to tell me? And I was like, I'm bi. And he looks at me, like 30 seconds go by, he's like, he's calling my bullshit. He's like, are you sure you're bi? And I was like, no, man, I'm gay. I remember 30 seconds I was bi, because I was too scared to say it. And I thanked him for calling my bullshit. But
you see, it's just been like a gradual thing. I was just like, I just started saying I was gay one day, and here I am. I mean, nobody really questioned it after I came out, so I was like, okay. But I guess going back to like friendships and like, I've always like, all of my friends were super accepting of it. I feel like I like subconsciously just like made sure I made friends with people who were okay with it. Kind of, I don't know. It was a very weird dynamic, because I also like, at the time I had like 3 different friend groups, not really a gay group per se, because in high school, the gay groups are kind of like, I'm a very social person. I like to go out. I like to go have fun. I know how to have fun. And the gay group at my school, they're very much sort of the vocal, like super, 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 like, how do I word this without offending people who are like this? Very unapproachable. Very unapproachable. I'll just say very unapproachable. Yeah. The yeah, and, I know. I wasn't exactly the most LGBTQ plus, you know, accepting person before I came out. So they also like had that stigmatization against me, you know. So they assumed that I was still that person after I came out, which I wasn't. You know, maybe
I thought you were some masculine bully. Like,
yeah, exactly. Yeah. Like, I mean, I wasn't like homophobic at any, or at least to like any super insane degree when I was younger, but. People like they had this image of me of just like the masculine guy, you know, like the masculine like person who is very political and like, you know, knows his stuff and like, and when I came out, people didn't believe it when it first happened. I still have to come out to people like literally a half year later because people like didn't know or they thought it was a rumor, legitimately.
Wow.
Yeah. So back in my high school, I had no gay community. I had none. I'm starting to build one finally because there's a lot of like gays. There's like two types of gays I would say in high school now. You got like these super extreme like, you know, like Tumblr type gays, and then you have the gays who are just chilling, you know, like they believe in gay rights super strongly and everything like that, but they just want to, you know, kind of socialize and have a good time. And
the ones that you couldn't tell are gay, is that kind of what you mean by that?
No. How do I phrase it? I don't know how to word it. There's like, I feel like there's like a lot of the gays in my high school are just very judgy, and the gay people that I'm friends with now, they don't judge me at all, you know, for like my past or anything that I've done, you know.
Would it just be like they're like, sexual orientation aside, they're like the popular kids.
Here we go. No, this is it. Their sexuality was the basis of their personality. It was the only thing. That they would talk about. It was the only thing that they cared about. It was the only thing that was them. Their sexuality was them. And I was there like, you know, guys, being gay is a part of me, and I'm super proud of it. I'm super proud of it. But like, if you have nothing else to add, or like, you know, if you have nothing else to talk about other than being gay, like you're not really adding anything to my life. Like I get it, you know, like I'm gay too. Haha.
You're becoming one of those problematic TV characters where their only dimension is that they're gay.
Exactly.
And the writers write them in because they're gay and supposed to be the funny gay guy, but that's their only, you know, dimension to them.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So how is like hookup culture in LA, you know, in high school and being gay? Like, let's talk about hookup culture.
All right, I can talk about hookup culture, definitely. So personally, I do not participate in hookup culture, at least not too much, you know. Obviously, if, you know, there's a dry spell here and there, maybe I'll partake. But for
maybe
the most
in the
part, yeah, maybe I'll partake. But for the most part, it's very toxic out here. You know, especially like I remember one of my first interactions with the gay community was going on Grindr. And there's just 50-year-old men, you know, hitting me up left and right. And, you know, like, while, you know, that's their thing. If they want to do that, you know, all power to them. It was just something that I did not, or I was not ready to be exposed to yet. You know, just seeing like 50-year-old men like being like, hey, bro, want to suck me off? I'm just like, no. Hey, bro, can I come over right now?
I'm literally 18 years old. You're talking to a child. No offense. Like, but you're talking to an 18-year-old.
You're talking to a child. You're talking to a kid right now.
You could be my dad.
So, yeah. So, like, but I guess, you know, if I'm going to speak on hookup culture, you know, I'm going to take the perspective of my friend. I feel like a lot of the people who do, like, a lot of the hookup culture, like, a lot of my friend, better said, he used to hook up with a lot of older men. Like it was just like a thing that he did. And I mean, I would say that hookup culture is something that it's an acquired taste. If you're into it, then go for it, man. But I personally think that a hookup culture is not sustainable. And I think that the reason it is so like prolific in our community right now is because of all the 40, 50-year-old men who are now just coming out, you know, they're divorcing their wives, and it's going to be hard to find somebody to romantically connect with at that age, which I totally get. But what I don't understand is why it's very prolific, like in the younger gay community. I feel like it's because, you know, we just never got that. Like how do I phrase this? The gay community is so sexualized, like sometimes that's what I feel like.
Right.
So sexualized sometimes. And that's the issue. Sometimes I feel like,
I've been trying to wrap my head around this, and I, And again, I did talk with Josh about this on the podcast last week about Pride being over-sexualized. He was coming from the standpoint that, you know, kinks do belong at Pride, that it's okay to like wear Speedo and Mother or whatever.
Oh, no, I agree. It's okay. Oh,
okay. Yeah. Okay. Mm-hmm. Then we won't go down. Yeah, that's kind of a different conversation. My thing is, I think that hookup. So a lot of gays, like they say that like gays live their 20s in their 30s and 40s. And which is true. Like I saw this joke. It was like in LA, you see like 40-year-old guys living with roommates, like they're in their 20s. Like you see, you see gay people that are in their 40s living with roommates and going to the bars every weekend, just like, you know, a 20-year-old would.
Yeah.
And so I think my perspective of it is that a lot of our youth was robbed, especially people who were,
100%,
you know, coming up in the 90s and early 2000s, like who would be 30 or 40 years old now, is that they were closeted, you know, their whole high school years, their whole college years. And so they're trying to take back and live like, you know, what they should have done, you know, years ago.
Yeah.
Which could explain why it's happening now, but why it's happening in younger kids, like kids your age or people your age, you know, I don't know. It's maybe they're just looking up. Maybe they think that's the way to go or the way to do it because they're seeing these older people do it.
I think that's not sure. There's still a huge stigmatization against like gay people. And we're kind of like, I almost got into the hookup culture. I almost got into it. But I think it's mainly because kids feel like they can't date anybody, you know, when they're younger. And once you're like 18, 19, you know, like I feel like when you're like 15 to like 18, you're kind of like romanticizing a relationship. And then after you kind of get through that, you're just like, oh, you know, it doesn't really matter anymore. You know, I can just literally when it's just like you're able to just text, you know, go on your phone, swipe for 5 minutes and get a hookup. Like it's literally that easy. Like why do that when you're why put in the effort into a relationship when you can just do that? You know, I guess like maybe that's the perspective that our generation's having, but.
Honestly, yeah, yeah.
I'm probably not the right person to answer this question because I don't know too much about the hookup culture. I honestly, like, I stay away from it. I try to because I feel like hookups, like, kill the soul a little bit. Like, it's like temporary pleasure. You know, you're temporarily filling that void of emptiness. You know, that's what it is. And that's why I just stay away from it.
Yeah, and you can feel so bad afterwards. Like, yeah.
I've done no. Trust me, I've had my few experiences. I know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I remember there's no. I don't want to go into detail, but yeah, I remember this one. Like I was like it's. I was out at a bar and everything. It was like okay, like let's do it, like whatever. And then afterwards, I was like, why did I do this? Like I was trying to get this person to leave. I was like texting my best friend. It was my neighbor. I was like, come and get your friend, because she was actually friends with him. And I was like, come and get your friend. I was just like, why did I do that? Like I was saying like I hate myself, but I think it was
no.
More
what
joke,
my friend literally like... does that all the time. He used to. He doesn't do it anymore. He's so much. I'm so proud of him. Anyways.
Yeah.
So anyways, when he was in this like, you know, sort of mentality of hooking up, he would tell me that every time after he hooked up, he would just hate himself.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
And I don't really. I never asked him why he. I've never asked him why he hooks up. I think it's because. You know, he claims sometimes that it's just, you know, you get the urge. Like once you do it, once you like, you know, have sex once, you want to do it again.
Right. Well, and, it's many reasons. It's like, well, sometimes maybe you're just horny.
Maybe
other times,
lonely.
A lot of people are looking for, a lot of people are looking for validation too, I think.
Yeah.
They don't.
But I feel like the hookup. Oh, sorry. Go ahead. Sorry, man.
I was just going to say, you know, they're looking for validation because maybe they don't feel confident. Maybe their parents have you know, not treated them well or not, you know, accepted them. And so they need something from someone to basically be telling them or giving them that self-worth of, you know, you're worthy of at least having sex with me. Right. So I think that's a big part of it for young people, especially is the validation factor.
I think it is a validation thing. I really do. And I guess to sort of add something onto my friend's experience that I'm sort of like quoting off here. Sure. He told me that he hated it. He would never, he regrets every, he doesn't remember half of his hookups because he mentally blocked them out. Not because they were bad, but because he just like literally hates himself for doing it. Jeez. So for anybody out there who's like debating to hook up, like if you're going to hook up with somebody, I would argue, like, you want to make sure you're hooking up with the right type of person. Not somebody who's going to throw you over. If you're going to hook up with somebody, if you're going to, people are going to do it. If you're going to do it, just make sure that you're safe. Make sure that you trust the person that you're with. Make sure that you feel 100% comfortable. And if, you know, something does go wrong, then you can, like, laugh awkwardly, you know, with that person. It doesn't have to be an interaction devoid of emotion, you know. When you hook up, it doesn't have to be like that. You can have a little bit of emotion, you know. And I feel like that's the issue with it, hookups, is that there is no emotional connection, you know.
I would say if you're totally, I agree. There is no emotional connection. I would say if you are going to hook up, if someone's listening and they're thinking they want to hook up, know why you're doing it. You know, first, like that's just the bottom line is don't like analyze. Okay, why am I about to go do this? If it's for self-worth or self-validation, screw that. Go get your validation. Like you don't need that. You don't need a penis to tell you. Like you don't need someone. You don't need sex to validate you. Okay, you're already
Exactly.
valid.
Exactly.
But if you're hooking up because you're horny and you're in the right mindset and whatever, and it's not going to damage you in any way, or
Yeah,
you
then do it.
don't do it, yeah,
Yeah.
for sure.
Yeah, honestly, like I think that like do it, but I don't know how to word this. I just my just my thing against hookups, I just like I could I can't do hookups personally. I can't because I just get emotionally connected, you know, to
Yeah.
people. I'm that type of person. I'm just an emotional person.
And that totally
And
happens. There's definitely people like that. Like that's a valid point or valid
honestly,
feeling to have. Yeah.
yeah, it's honestly, that's like literally the reason why I just don't do it or don't advocate it for either, because just all my friends tell me that they regret it after they do it. You know, the one time that I did hook up, I didn't regret it because I mainly, maybe that was because I was in the right mindset. I did it for
Yeah.
the right reasons and I was perfectly content with what I did. But if
Right.
you're not in the right mindset and if you're doing it for the wrong reasons, you know, just like you said, 100%, you know, it's just don't do it. If
Yeah.
you're in the right mindset, if you're not looking for validation, if you're doing it just because you're horny, like, I mean, go ahead, man. It's
Sure.
free range, but don't let hookups distract you from your real life. I guess that's what I would say, you know?
Yeah. Let's talk about dating. We're getting some questions now, so we can go into Q&A in a little bit.
Okay.
But what is dating like in LA as a high school 19-year-old teenager? Is it like the movies at all?
All right. So, dating life. I dated, or I was actually, so I've actually never officially dated anybody,
Okay.
actually. So crazy. I know. People, when they hear that, they're like, what? I'm like, no, I've never, I've gotten very close. I've had month-long flings, but what happens is that, you know, I was dating this one, like, social, or not dating, a fling. You know what?
I'm
Terminology
very
doesn't
familiar
matter.
with flings. I am very personal on me.
And so I had a fling with this guy. He was super big in social media. It just didn't go well. It's very superficial. He kind of seemed more like he was using me as an escape for something that he was sure that he wasn't facing, and it didn't end well. And then I've talked to several guys, you know, and it's kind of been this pattern of, I guess, superficiality within the gay community here. And it can be very superficial at times. It's hard to find real people. And on top of that, I would argue that the LA dating pool is kind of dry for people my age, mainly
Really?
because, yeah, I mean, I live in suburbia, the suburbia of Los Angeles, so obviously it's going to be different here. But when you're living in the city, it's going to be hard for people in their early 20s to be affording their own place. I guarantee you, I'm going to be one of the only people in, like, you know, I'm going to be a very ha like a handful of people who's able to afford their own place at 18, a handful. And I'm so lucky, you know, to have that, to be able to do that on my own. But because of that, it's hard to find people your age to date, you know, because I don't, once I move out and have my own place, like, I would prefer to, you know, to not go over to the parents' house and meet the parents there. That's just something, like, I don't want to do. But which is why, like, I've come to a place in my life where I'm okay with being single, and I'm okay with waiting for the right person. Like, you know, I'm okay with waiting. So that's the point where I'm at. And I've gone through so many flings that I know exactly what type, like, what person I want in my life. I know what is good for me, and I know what I need, not necessarily what I want, but what I need. So I'm just at this place right now where I'm waiting for the right person. And I think that dating, honestly, the dating life in LA is probably super fun, but it's not something for me per se. I'm looking for something like it's a very superficial atmosphere from what I've experienced. Again, my experience in LA gay life is very limited, but from what I have experienced, it's very superficial.
Yeah, I have a little bit. So from my knowledge, I'm obviously not in LA. I'm close to, or 2 hours from LA, but I've done a podcast with a few people in LA. One, a writer and comedian. He's basically said that, especially for the white masculine type gays, he's like, all they do is go to orgies and blow coke up their ass. Not up their ass, but, you know, they blow coke. Yeah, that's the other thing.
Drugs are insane.
Luke, we lost connection.
Sorry, I gotta.
Sorry, everyone, we're experiencing technical difficulties.
My friend is like
blowing coke. We were talking about.
Oh yeah, yeah.
I was talking to this comedian. This comedian came on the podcast, and he was basically he has this like, he's not white, so he kind of maybe has this. He kind of looks from at these, you know, at white masculine gaze as yeah. He looks at that, like he's not invited. He's not part of that culture. No, but he was saying that a lot of them just blow coke and do orgies. And I guess that's just part of LA culture.
So yeah, I actually know some insight into this as well. I had an old gay friend at the time. His brother was also gay, and we were just hanging out one time, and he told me all about like the gay culture in LA. Apparently there are just literally parties where people just like snort coke or do, you know, MDMA or, you know, some even more intense stuff. And they'll literally just have orgies like all the time. And it got so bad. His brother got addicted to some drug. I'm not quite sure. I don't remember off the top of my head, but yeah, he got involved with the culture, and he was like addicted to coke or something. And it kind of disgusts me, you know, like LA, I would feel like we would be like the gay community would be better than that. Like if you're going to do that, but like I feel like that's a pretty good demonstration of what LA gay culture like is at the moment. It's not something that's like very inviting to people who just want to be gay and like live their own lives, you know, or just.
Well, LA, I think LA in general is a very, it's its own monster. It's its own thing. It's a very fast paced, you know, claw your way to the top environment. And so that doesn't breed like if you're someone who's looking to, you know, find a partner and have that, like, you know, that settled down life and whatever, it's not a place for that generally, because especially if you're young, because it is this very dog eat dog world. Everyone's trying to make it in something. Everyone's trying to make it in Hollywood and climb to the top, whether it's as a photographer or as a producer or as a director. Exactly. So it breeds this environment of just fast paced, go, go, go. And everyone is kind of eating or toppling over each other, and it creates this party world. Go ahead.
That's what I'm kind of scared of, you know, now that I've lived in the suburbs all my life, you know, now I'm going to be moving to the city. And I'm honestly kind of scared, you know, being exposed to that culture. You know, I want, you know, going into this thing, you know, I promised my family, my friends, that I wouldn't change.
Yeah.
And that's actually like one of the biggest things, you know, that worries me is if I do move to the city, am I going to change? Mm-hmm. And, you know, the reality of that question is no, you're not going to change unless you allow yourself to, which is why, like, you know, I finally come to terms with that. I'm like, you know, as long as I do not want myself to get into that lifestyle, I won't. Mm-hmm. But, you know, it's just that lifestyle, I feel like it can be very, like, toxically enticing, you know, right, to some people.
Oh, because, totally.
You know, hey, you know, just as what's his name, the Tiger King said, Joe Exotic.
Joe Exotic.
You know, like, with enough drugs, you can keep anybody, you know, doing whatever. If somebody has enough marijuana, you know, they can. If they're high 24/7, they don't care what's happening to them. Let's be real here. They don't.
Well, and in the same. Oh, go ahead.
No. I mean, that's just what like gay culture is, I feel like, and like that type, that orgy party type stuff in LA, like that's what it comes down to.
Yeah, and it's why coke is so prevalent too, because again, everyone's competing for jobs. Everyone, you're trying to write the next TV show, you're trying to direct the next Avengers, and so when it was a drug like Coke, you know, it keeps people going. People can work 24/7. Stephen King wrote all his best novels. Like, I'm not advocating Coke, but that dude was pumping out books. He was high as a motherfucker.
No, and then on top of that, some of the best songs are written while high. You know, I think that drugs have a stigmatization that, you know, they're bad, but no, drugs are not either good or bad. They're simply a tool that can be used. They're simply there. And the way you use them really determines if they're good or bad. And anything abused is going to be bad. You can drink too much water and die.
Totally.
And
to you, are you moving to, where are you moving? Like West Hollywood or?
I'm moving towards the Van Nuys area. I think that's where I'm poised because I'm planning on going to community there. Mm-hmm. I'm getting a degree and then I'm going to just stay in LA. My focus is going to be my career, but I want to have a degree as a fallback in case something terrible happens, which I doubt would happen, but it would be good to have a degree just to even say I have a degree. I feel like that's something that I want. You know, I want to be able to be like, yeah, I went to college, I have a college education, I got that degree. And do I need it? No, but I have the education, you know, in case I do need it. So
we have 5 minutes. Let's take this question real quick. Can you see the questions?
I cannot.
Okay, actually.
There's a chat option, but there's a live comments. There we go.
Megan says, do you have any advice on convincing your parents not to move to a highly homophobic state while staying in the closet? Megan, that's a great question. I'll go first real quick, and then let's see.
Go ahead.
Okay, so you're in the closet. So I guess it depends on your parents. If your parents are homophobic themselves, I would come from the approach of, again, I don't know what state it is, but just probably if it's a homophobic state, you said highly homophobic, it's probably like a state with bad education. It's probably a state with, you know, high poverty. I'm thinking like an Alabama type thing. If you're talking about like an Alabama type thing, try to point that out to them, that it's, you know, it's not the best state for those things, for your education. Maybe there's high crime. Just kind of point out that, just try to find the negatives. I think that's the bottom line, is try to find the negatives of this state and explain to them that way while you know, still not disclosing your identity. Tennessee. Okay, Tennessee. So yeah, same thing as Alabama type thing. Just explain to them. Well, Tennessee is kind of better on education. But just look for the bad things, Megan. I would just say do some research on what's bad about Tennessee and explain to them why it's not a good move for you at that time. Especially if you're young. Go ahead.
I was gonna say, if your parents, if they're moving because of work related things, try and find a better job for them and they can move to that state instead.
Mm.
And is Tennessee bad for homophobia? I don't know.
It's not as bad. It depends where you are. It's not. I went to school in Mississippi, believe it or not. But it's not as bad as like Alabama or Louisiana. But you know, it's still the South. And Tennessee's fairly progressive, especially in Nashville. If you're in Nashville, you'll be able to find – they have a gay bar in downtown Nashville.
Yeah.
So Patrick John says, what do you think about Hollywood underrepresenting the gay community? Do you want to comment on that?
Shoot, yeah, I guess I will. I think that Hollywood, the reason that they're not representing the gay community right now is because it's simply profit-driven right now. Mm-hmm. They're not getting that money from overseas. And while, you know, movies like Love, Simon may be able to get money here, they're not getting any money support overseas, not yet. Mm-hmm. And America, you know, we may give America a lot of slack and we still have a lot of things that we have to work on, but we're very progressive in the scope of the world. In this, like, people are still being stoned to death for being gay as we speak. Mm-hmm. Like in Saudi Arabia, in most countries in Africa, you know, it's pretty stigmatized to be gay. I mean, other than like, I would argue South Africa. I mean, even then, South Africa is kind of borderline. But it's just it's very profit driven. It's not really meant to be discriminatory, but it really does come off as discriminatory because these companies are from America, you know.
Yeah.
Like, you would expect them to be presenting American ideals, but they're really not. So
yeah, and in a movie with a lot of gay themes or centered, you know, they can't show it in China or Russia or places like that. So
yeah,
they lose all those profits. Luke, I don't want to keep you too long. What are your social channels that people can follow you at?
All right, my social channels are, I got my Instagram, Luke M. Jones with two S's at the end. Luke M. Jones on TikTok. No, I just Luke M. Jones. Honestly, I would say just go follow me on those two platforms for now, because for now, that's pretty much, those are the only two that I'm super active on right now. And I'm obviously expanding into more, I'm trying to expand into more like industries as we speak right now, but for the moment, those are the only two. If you really liked what I had to say here, then I mean, shoot a follow over there. Thank you so much for coming on.
Yeah, awesome. And one last thing, what would you tell your younger self if they were watching this video?
Don't overthink it.
Love that.
Yeah, don't overthink it. Honestly, don't overthink
Awesome. Well, I don't
it.
want to keep you too long. You got your friend coming, so I had a great conversation with you. It was a pleasure talking to you.
Yeah, man, of course. And then am I allowed to ask a question to you right now personally?
Oh,
And
sure. Go ahead.
okay, so I was thinking about starting my own podcast about people that inspire me,
Yeah.
and I want to sort of get like the why they work the way that they work, and like what exactly is motivating you to do the things that you do. Would you want to stop by my do a video on that with me? Would you be
Yeah.
interested? Okay,
Do
perfect.
you'd come on the podcast, you mean, or do a video?
Oh, so I want to, yeah, I'm gonna start my own YouTube series. I
Okay.
don't remember, yeah, I don't remember the name. I'm calling it off the top of my head, but I just made a list of the most interesting people I know, and like you were on there, so
Oh, well,
yeah.
I appreciate that.
Yeah, of course, man.
That's awesome. I would be more than thrilled to do anything that you want,
Okay,
collab with you. So,
perfect. Thank you.
yeah,
All right,
absolutely.
thank you to everybody who's watching this. It's been a pleasure. Thank you so much for having me.
Yep. Thank you. Everyone have a great day. Thank you all so much for listening. You are all so beautiful and amazing. Make sure to check us out at www.thealphabetmafia.com. You can read our blogs there. You can support our brand. Get a sticker. Get yourself a sticker. That really helps us. It raises brand awareness. You put it on your water bottle. You put it on your laptop. It becomes more of a common thing seen around town. If you want to be featured on our YouTube show where I answer your DMs and emails regarding, you know, your situation you're in or needing advice, you can email us at info@thealphabetmafia.com. Again, that's info@thealphabetmafia.com. Just put in the headline LGBTQ plus advice, something like that, and I will try and read it and then use it on the show. Of course, if you need serious help, you can visit thetrevorproject.org or you can give them a call at 1-866-488-7386. If you are in need of serious help, please reach out to those people immediately. They will be more than happy to help in a tremendous way. Thank you all for tuning in, and I hope you have a beautiful morning, evening, whatever it is. Good night.